All right, so we've already read the text, and so I want us to look this morning at the shepherds of Christmas, the shepherds of Christmas. In fact, this is part of a series throughout the Christmas season. We're looking at the shepherds of Christmas. Next week, the angels of Christmas, and then the third week, we're looking at the kings of Christmas, and then for Christmas Eve, we're looking at the mysteries of Christmas. And so this is kind of a series, but the shepherds are very much a part of the Christmas story, of course, very much a part of the Christmas tradition. And there was a lady, a school teacher, and she was asking her class what their different traditions were for Christmas. So she asked this one Roman Catholic boy, said, "What do you do for Christmas?" He said, "Well, we go to midnight mass on Christmas Eve, and we sing hymns, and then we come home and open presents." And then she asked the little Baptist boy, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, we go to Christmas Eve candlelight service, and then we come home, we go to bed early because we want to get up early in the morning and get our presents." Well, there was also a Jewish boy in the class. She didn't want to leave him out, so the teacher asks him, "What do you do on Christmas Eve?" He said, "Well, it's the same every year. Dad comes home from the office, and then we all pile in the car, and we go down to his toy factory. We look at all the empty shelves, and we sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus.'" So let's look this morning at the shepherds of Christmas. Why the shepherds? Of all the people that God could have announced the birth of his son, why the shepherds? Well, maybe because they were common men. Maybe that's why. They were not high-ranking public officials. They were not poverty-stricken citizens. In fact, when you think of it, they were just average people working the night shift. They weren't the richest of the rich. They weren't the poorest of the poorest. They're right in the middle, just like maybe most of us are, somewhere in the middle, just average Joes working the night shift. Jesus came for all people. Yeah, he came for the rich, and he came for the poor. But he came for everybody in between, too. And so to show that first Christmas night, maybe that's why he came to the shepherds. He didn't come for a particular class. And even though lowly, these shepherds were included in God's plan. Now, shepherds were usually excluded from Jewish society. Their occupation required separation in pastures outside the cities and villages. In fact, the Jewish people considered shepherds to be unclean. And yet they were the first to be informed of Jesus' birth. They were the very first. These folks that the Jews would say, "Well, they're unclean." God said, these are people I want to come visit. Have you ever, especially when parents are new, you ever gone to visit a newborn child, maybe a grandchild or something like that? And you know, the doctors tell us that when that baby is first born, it's basically impervious to any kind of infection because that baby has its mother's immune system. But it doesn't matter. If you've got new parents and you want to go see that baby, and this is long before COVID, you got to put on a mask, you got to wash your hands, and you got to sanitize your hand. You can only hold the baby for like a minute, and then you got to give it back to the mother so unless something were to happen to it. And yet God says, "You bring these dirty, filthy, what you consider to be unclean shepherds, I want them to see my newborn son." Because God didn't consider them unclean. Now, maybe the Jewish people said they were unclean. God didn't consider them unclean. He invited them to visit his newborn son. And so why the shepherds? Well, maybe because they were common men. But I got to ask one more question. I've spent a lot of time with a lot of country folks. And these shepherds were country folks. They were out in the country. And, of course, the angel appears and then, you know, the host of heaven. Why is it that country folks always see lights in the sky? Do you ever wonder why that is? You know, you watch a news report, something happens. Yeah, I seen it. It was there. I saw it. These shepherds, country folks, they see lights in the sky. I don't know. Maybe because they were common men. Secondly, maybe because they were willing to listen. Maybe God chose the shepherds because they were willing to listen. Now, you might say, well, they didn't have a lot of choice, did they? I mean, the angel shows up, and then all the angels show up. Well, they could have run. They could have taken cover. They could have ignored the message. But they were willing to listen. And do you realize that God blesses those who are willing to listen? Look here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy." God blesses those who are willing to listen. In fact, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Romans 10:17, says that faith comes by listening. Look what it says. "So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." God blesses those who are willing to listen. So how can we listen? Not only this Christmas season, but always, how can we listen? Well, we can come to Sunday school and listen to the teaching. We can come to church and listen to the preaching. We can read the Bible ourselves. And as we read the Bible, God can speak to us, and we need to be listening. Did you know that the word listen and silent use the same letters? They're just rearranged. And you probably know this, that Satan and Santa are the same thing. But anyway, I'm not talking about that right now. But listen and silent are the same letters, just rearranged. We're usually better at talking than listening, aren't we? But when you look at it, God gave us two ears and only one mouth, which means we should be listening twice as much as we're talking. Listening is a very important aspect of prayer. Listening. Now, we don't have any problem going to God in prayer and just yak, 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 yak. But it's important to be silent so we can listen to what God has to say. It's difficult to do. It's difficult to just sit there in silence and listen. Why? Because as soon as you find a time and you find a place and you get quiet, there's all kinds of distractions. There's a noise outside, somebody knocks at the door, your phone rings. I don't want to share too much of my intimate life with you, but I found through the years that the best place for me to get aside and pray and listen is in the bathroom. And I discovered this when Karis was very small. And I had to get away from her and other distractions, so I would go in the bathroom and lock it so that I could spend time with God talking and listening. But then once Karis learned to write, while I was in the bathroom, she would send faxes under the door. It's hard to be still and listen, but it's so important. And let me tell you this, it may be one of the reasons we don't always perceive God's answers. We ask God and ask God and ask God and ask God, and then we never stop to listen, and that may be one of the reasons we don't perceive when He does answer, because we're not listening. Well, these shepherds were willing to listen. Now, speaking of prayer, there were two boys, and they were spending the night at Grandma's house during the Christmas season. And it was time for bed, so Grandma told the boys to go say their prayers and go to sleep. Well, the older boy, he prayed a silent prayer and got in bed. The younger boy kneeled down on the side of the bed, and he began to pray in a very loud voice, "Dear God, please get me a new game system. Dear God, please get me a new bicycle." And his bigger brother said, "Why are you praying so loud? God's not deaf." He said, "No, but Grandma is." Why the shepherds? Maybe because they were common men. Maybe because they were willing to listen. Maybe because they were willing to go. Look at verse 15. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.'" Maybe because they were willing to go. And I want you to know that they went quickly. Look in verse 16. "And they came with haste." They were willing to go, but they went quickly. Immediate obedience. The angel said, "Hey, listen, you need to go see this thing." They said, "Let's go." And they went trusting. They apparently left their flocks. You say, "Well, Brother Gary, all the pictures I've ever seen, the shepherds bring the sheep there." Well, first of all, those aren't photographs. But it's not likely that all these shepherds would have brought their entire flocks with them. They went trusting. They apparently left their flocks because they understood that obedience to God is more important than work, and they also knew that God would care for their livelihood. If they were obedient to God to go see this thing that He announced to them, God would take care of the sheep. Sadly, not only at Christmas, but all the time, many people put work before God. And I'm not talking about folks that because of the nature of their work, they have to work on Sundays, they can't come to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to folks that pick up extra hours and extra shifts, especially on Sundays, probably to use as an excuse so they don't feel so bad for not coming to church. Obedience to God is more important than work. These guys went quickly. They went trusting. But do you think when they got there, they were disappointed to find the Savior so humble? I mean, He's in a manger. Do you think that when they got there, they have this big announcement, the angel, and then all the angels, and they're like, wow, let's go see. And then there's this baby in a manger. Do you think they were disappointed? No. The angel said they would find the baby in a manger. Look in verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What they found was exactly what they were told they would find. And they weren't disappointed. I think the shepherds were thrilled that common people would be included in God's plan. But why a manger? Why in the world, of all the places that God could have his newborn son placed, why a manger? Well, a manger, I think you know, is a feeding trough for animals. When you wanted to feed your animals, you put the hay or whatever it was in the manger and they would come and eat it. It's interesting that the verb to eat in French is manger, spelled M-A-N-G-E-R. And also in Italian, it's mangiare, which is M-A-N-G-I-A-R-E, almost the same. Clearly, the verb forms in romantic languages, English is a romantic language, the verb forms indicate manger, to eat, manger. And so they knew what a manger was. It was a feeding trough for animals. So how did the shepherds find Jesus? You say, well, that's easy. They just followed the star. No, there's no star. That came later. They searched all the mangers in Bethlehem. Guaranteed, there was only one manger with a baby. All the other mangers would have animal feed in it, or they'd be empty. And so however many mangers there were, the shepherds just needed to find the one, the only one, that had a baby. Jesus was born in a stable or a cave. They use caves the same way as a stable. But again, I ask the question, why would you put Jesus in a manger, a place for food? Quite simply, because Jesus is food. Look what he said of himself here in John 6:48. I am the bread of life. And a few verses later, look what he says in verses 55 and 56. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Why in the world would you put a baby, Jesus, in a feeding trough? He's food. He said so himself. He is the bread of life. His flesh is food indeed. We must receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, we do not actually eat him. If you have any Roman Catholic friends, they actually take this verse, verses 55 and 56, and they go too far with it. They say when you take the Lord's Supper, you're actually eating the body of Christ. You're actually drinking his blood. That's not what Jesus means here. He's talking about receiving him as personal Savior. We do not actually eat him, but we spiritually ingest him into our hearts. So why put Jesus in a manger? Well, you expect to find food in a manger. Physical food is what everyone needs to survive this life, and spiritual food is what everyone needs to survive the life to come. And that spiritual food is Jesus. So how do you receive him? How do you ingest Jesus spiritually? You believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You believe that he was buried for your sins, and the third day he rose again from the dead. And when you believe, when you receive, Christ comes into your heart, comes into your spirit, and he stays there forever. He wipes your sins away, and he grants you eternal life. So why the shepherds? Well, maybe because they were willing to go. And by the way, God calls all of us to go. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God calls all of us to go. Jennifer mentioned the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. Look what Jesus says. Go! Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're all called to go. How do we go? Well, we share our faith with others. We invite people to church. We pass out tracts. We also engage in missions giving and missions going. Now, of course, we've already mentioned the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and You have these pamphlets in your bulletin, and there's 7 days of prayer for this week. But like Jennifer said, you don't have to just pray this week, or it's okay that we didn't pray last week because we didn't have this material. You can pray next week. You can pray all the time. But for today's, I want to share with you what today's is. You get home, you can read it yourself. But in Kenya, there's a children's shelter there. Southern Baptist missionaries go through the town, this town in Kenya, and they take children from off the street who've either rejected their parents or their parents have rejected them. They clean them up, they feed them, they teach them about Jesus, and they work on reconciling these children with their families. And because you pray, and because you give, this ministry in Kenya continues. I encourage you this week and this Christmas season, as you're spending too much money buying people you don't even care about presents, remember God's work. Remember how we're all called to go. And we go through missions giving and through missions going. I know Jennifer was supposed to go to Kenya last summer, and that got canceled, and then it was supposed to be this fall, and that got canceled. Now it's rescheduled for this summer. She's not only giving, she's going. And God may be calling some of you to give and go. And as opportunities arise for our church to go, I will keep you informed. You might remember, the committee wanted me to start, I think, a week sooner than I did in February, but I was on a mission trip in Puerto Rico. And if you've never been on a mission trip, you need to go. I know we do go, our youth go to West Virginia. That's great. But we'll keep you informed. But God calls all of us to go. So why the shepherds? Because they were common men, maybe. Because they were willing to listen, maybe. Because they were willing to go, maybe. Maybe because they were willing to tell. Look in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went everywhere. After they saw Jesus, they went and told everybody. Everybody they saw. And look down in verse 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They were willing to tell. They understood the angelic message to be from God. They understood Jesus' birth to be extremely significant. The shepherds went to Bethlehem on faith. But they left with facts. Faith led them to the manger. Their experience led them to others. And they became Jesus' first missionaries. They became Jesus' first missionaries. Look at Luke 2:17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Many Christians today must think the message is not important enough to tell. Oh, we love the message. We love the Christmas story. We love the Easter story. And we love all the miracles and all that stuff and the Apostle Paul. And we think that's great. We love the story, but we don't think it's important enough to tell others. And though the shepherds told others, they must not have cared either. Look at the rest of this passage, verse 18. It starts with the word "and." And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, these shepherds were fired up. They were excited. They had just seen the Christ child, and they go tell everybody. And as people were getting the message from the shepherds, the people were going, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if we should go. Nah, busy. Busy. Many people today still reject the message of Jesus' birth. They say it's a myth or a nice story. They enjoy Christmas, but they don't enjoy the Christ of Christmas. They enjoy the baby in a manger, not the crucified, risen, ascended Savior, Lord God Almighty. It's truly sad that most will celebrate the beauty of the holiday without understanding the purpose of the holiday. Well, they'll get caught up in the decorations, they'll get caught up in the lights, they'll get caught up in the presents and the parties, all of that stuff. They celebrate the beauty of the holiday. They don't understand the purpose of the holiday. Like the colors green and red. Green symbolizing eternal life. Red symbolizing the blood of Christ. Or what about the Christmas carols? We all love the Christmas carols. I just want to read a couple to you. I'm not going to sing them. But good Christian men rejoice. Listen to verse 3. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Christmas is about being saved. How about our little town of Bethlehem that we just sang? I'm out of order here. Verse 4. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. How about what child is this? Verse 3. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Or how about Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Boy, you read the theology in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's dripping with theology. But listen to just verse 1. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. And how about go tell it on the mountain? Verse 3. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. What's Christmas all about? It's about being saved. It's about you making sure that you are saved. And it's about you sharing your faith with others so they can make sure that they're saved. But people celebrate the holiday and they miss the purpose in the colors and the carols, even in the gifts. You're trying to figure out who to get what. Remember, the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Something everybody needs. The gift that keeps on giving forever. And even the gifts of the Magi. Gold for a king. Frankincense for a priest. And myrrh for one who was to die. Now that's a strange gift. Why do you give somebody embalming fluid for their birthday? That doesn't make any sense until you understand that Jesus was born to die to pay for our sins so that we can live forever. Why the shepherds? Because they were common men, okay? Because they were willing to listen? Because they were willing to go? Because they were willing to tell? Perhaps. But I think most of all, God chose the shepherds because they would know how to look after a newborn lamb. They would know how to look after a newborn lamb. What do I mean? Jesus is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist saw Jesus walking one day. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, shepherds had witnessed hundreds of births of lambs being born. This was their occupation. They watched birth after birth after birth. But this lamb was different. How so? Well, this lamb was a stranger. He wasn't from the area. He wasn't even from the earth. This lamb was Emmanuel, God with us. He was God in the flesh. Not only was a stranger, he was a sacrifice. Now, remember, part of what the shepherds were doing, they were raising these sheep so they could be sacrificed in the temple, so that people could bring the sheep and shed its blood to make things right with God. This was a different sacrifice. This was a sacrifice that God himself was initiating. It wasn't people bringing a sacrifice to God. It was God bringing a sacrifice for people. And unlike those lambs that these shepherds raised, this lamb would provide a once-for-all sacrifice. You see, one of the reasons these shepherds had a job was because people kept killing their lambs as part of the sacrificial system. But after this lamb, this unique lamb, died, he died once for all, done with the sacrificial system. Because this lamb would die for the sins of the world. Again, as John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." So they'd seen lots of births, but not like this one. This lamb was different. He was a stranger. This lamb was different. He was a sacrifice. This lamb was different. He was the Savior. In fact, Jesus' name given by the angel means God saves. That's what Jesus means. God saves. And my friends, understand this. Jesus is the only Savior. He's not one Savior among many. He's not one of many paths to get to heaven, to get to God. There's only one way. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. Peter puts it this way in Acts 4:12. You Awana kids will know this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus or it's hell. And that's it. That's it. And so today, as we look at the shepherds of Christmas, why in the world would God choose shepherds to be the first ones informed about the birth of his son? Maybe because they're common men. I don't know if that speaks to you. It speaks to me. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody important. I'm nobody wealthy. I'm just an average Joe, well, Gary, you know, like most, if not all of you. I'm so glad Jesus came for the common guy. Maybe because they were willing to listen. You say, well, they didn't have much choice. Well, I guess they could have done this, but they listened. And maybe because they were willing to go. And that's exactly what they did. They just left their livelihood and they went to see. And once they saw, they were willing to tell. They told everybody they saw. And remember, God has called all of us to go. Most likely, in my estimation, the reason God chose the shepherds is who better to look after a newborn lamb than shepherds? Jesus is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world, but the question is, has he taken away your sins? Until you receive him as your Savior, yes, he died for the sins of the world, but it's only effective if you receive it. Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior? Do you believe? Not only he was that baby in the manger, but he grew up to die on that cross, to be buried and rise again the third day. You truly believe that. You truly receive Christ. He comes into your heart. He takes your sins away. He grants you eternal life. Done deal. Forever. Merry Christmas. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the greatest Christmas present you could get this season is from God Himself, His Son. Receive Him.